people ask me all the time, hey, do you still root for your old team? And I said, why wouldn't I? Of course I do. I mean, the impact that you want to have as a head coach on a team and a community, that's one thing. But man, oh man, the impact that that team, that building and that community had on me and my family, we'll remember that for the rest of our lives. That's part of sports, right? The wins and the losses are important, but it's like the impact you leave or that is left on people and the fan base and them on you. And that's the real part of sports.
Former Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott on a bit of a media tour recently. This stop was the Jim Rome show, if I'm not mistaken.
I think it was the Rich Eisen show.
Rich Eisen show, thank you. He was on the Jim Rome show about a month ago, that's right. Joe Cali, Derek Kramer, Sports Talk Saturday rolls on. 803-0550, the number to call. Going to do a little bit of Bills chatter here after the opening segment about Lane Kiffin. If you have a thought on that, 803-0550, we'll take your call. McDermott specifically for a moment, if that's all right.
Sure.
Figured now, like, the temperature's way down on all this. We're a week out from the regular season. It's a good time to, like, kind of look back, I feel like, and figure out where we're at this point in the season. With it being prediction day on the show, because we're going to get to that at some point. A lot of conversation surrounds this version of the Buffalo Bills as the McDermott shackleless Buffalo Bills, right?
Yes.
I'm not trying to stir a pot or anything like that. I'm thinking about how to phrase this for a moment. What do we really think is going to be that much different? And were the shackles really from McDermott, or was it a roster thing, a roster shackle, if you will?
So what I think it might be is a combination of both. But on the other side of the football, like, people think that McDermott wanted to run the football more. No.
I think he wanted a more steady run game. Any coach would, right?
But that's also what the trends of the league had become.
Mm-hmm.
McDermott paid attention to trends.
Oh, yeah, he was a trend guy. He ended up wearing glasses in his last season, and they became trendy.
However, the one that caught up to him was also the same one that he incorporated within an offense.
Right.
Or not he incorporated an offense, but his coordinator did. McDermott and Bean attacked that defense when they both start together as getting younger, faster, and smaller to keep up the passing days of the NFL. However, the league itself has turned a trend back to a more balanced attack, being the healthiest attack. Proper run games are now a thing again. More commonplace within the National Football League. You need to have it again.
Right.
And the Bills, offensively, with Joe Brady, and in particular with James Cook, have become one of the best at it. Defensively, they were still too small.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that you can just suddenly reverse that within a year. And the Bills had not moved fast enough on getting more size into their lineup.
Right.
And that's not entirely on McDermott. That is also on the general manager as well. That said, the style of defense that he played, it is meant to be more of bend, don't break, rely on getting some turnovers or big plays so that you could stop a drive. It did turn into a little bit of a you needed certain things to happen, and then the personnel that you had at this point was seeing the end of its days.
Right.
Notably because there are still a lot of Bills starters from last year's defense that haven't been signed anywhere.
No.
And we are a week away from the season.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we're only a few days from the start of the NFL's regular season.
I think A.J. Epenesa might have been the only one that was recently added to a team.
Taylor Rapp was added over the preseason, but was released again by Denver.
Yes. Yes.
I just want to make sure that we include some of the motion.
Sure, sure. I agree.
I would imagine Rapp gets added back to Denver's practice squad again, but, you know, like, it did seem like it wasn't an issue of, like, it might have been a numbers game with Rapp there.
Right.
Anyway, point being, a lot of the McDermott starters have not been brought back somewhere, which tells you either A, he did yeoman's work with a bad roster, or B, he had certain players that would only fit that style.
Right.
And I think it's a healthy mix of both.
I do too. And I'm not here to discredit. There were clips throughout the week, and we'll get to them, talking about the pressure on the Bills, pressure on Josh Allen, and the Allen wars have begun. We talked about it on the morning show throughout the week. I look at this as, you know, the shackles of the run game, the shackles of whatever. The Bills didn't have the personnel to really do anything different. The Bills had a wide receiver core where they had to play for fourth down. The third and 25 screen passes, as infuriating as they were, they were to set up fourth and mid, fourth and short, right? Because guess what? You didn't have a DJ Moore to get the first down on second and 15. You didn't have DJ Moore. You didn't have Khalil Shakir freed up because of another receiver, right?
Right.
So I think the shackle conversation specifically is different when you add weapons. And in another clip we'll hear from McDermott, he talks about the weapons that were added. He talks about DJ Moore. He talks about who they added on defense, all of it. And he said it's hard not to think about them as a contender. Still.
He's acutely aware of what the team is still like. And yes. I like that he's still keeping tabs.
And I think you needed those additions now. And I think that's where this season will be the, oh, look at how well they're doing without McDermott as the head coach.
And when in real, some of it might not necessarily be that.
Yes. Reality will say, this is what happens when a GM actually gets you a big piece to add to your roster, your wide receiver room, your defense, right? Some of these players, like Bradley Chubb, if he pops, that's what happens when you get a guy like that.
And yet,
so I think that'll be more of how I look at this season, I guess.
I think it's more offensively, I think nothing should be held against McDermott about the offense.
No.
The Bills opening it up, quote unquote, would not be a reflection on McDermott. It would be a reflection on Bean adding a top tier wide receiver finally.
Sure.
That's what that should be. I'm going to say, like, not everyone's thoughts will be there, but that is my suggestion to people that would disagree.
Yeah.
Is if the offense opens it up more, that is not because of McDermott. Brady, however, I don't see him hesitating to keep running the football. The league has shown a trend now. Keep running the ball if you're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of it, right? If you're good at something, keep doing it.
Yeah. If it works, it works.
Matter of fact, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, he wrote an article about the NFL's passing game and how the lack of its explosive capabilities has gone down. We don't see as many 5,000-yard passers anymore. It's a big deal now all of a sudden if Allen can get to four.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen is in this article with Prisco. Quote, if you can run the ball, just keep doing it. That's the thing that is going to get people out of these rotations and stuff. Go ahead and rotate.
Allen saying this?
I'm handing the ball off to James Cook. Good luck.
Okay, there you go. Quote from Josh Allen.
From Josh Allen.
Yeah, what did they do in Pittsburgh? It was working. And what did they do? They ran the entire game. They put James Cook through the ringer the entire game. And guess what? They murdered them.
The entrance of Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, you know, and all these deep ball flyers, right? What do you counter it with? Too high.
Mm-hmm.
What's a great counter to too high? Run the ball.
Run the ball.
What's a great counter to nickel-based personnel? Run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas, when they had a dime-based personnel. And all that Joe Brady decided to do as then interim offensive coordinator was go,
run the ball.
Okay, you guys are smaller than us. We're running the ball.
Sure.
Who cares?
Yeah, I think you're better. You mentioned too
that
high.
That was so satisfying.
Yeah, it was. You mentioned, and he did it again against Pittsburgh. He did it twice. He did that same exact thing twice.
What do you do when the base defensive formations of a team is at a little guy?
Yeah.
Use your big guys.
You do. And the too high point you made, you would much rather give up 8 yards on the ground than a 30-yard bomb from any of those guys. So, yeah, you are going to – that's why running the ball has become a little more persistent.
Joe Brady is in this Prisco article.
Oh, he is.
I really want to –
Deep dive.
I need to read this.
Yeah.
Brady, quote, the game of football is cyclical. 5 years ago, people were throwing for 5,000 yards. Now, they make them earn it. Defenses have changed. That's what teams do. We're not just going to bang our head against the wall against it. If we get favorable looks in the run game, we will run it and get them back in the box.
Mm-hmm.
The old adage, you run to set up the pass.
Yes.
And then you can therefore pass to set up the run. The league's trend has passed so much that it has now set up the run to return.
Mm-hmm. And potentially the value of running backs to increase because of it.
So, no. The Bills, if they happen to throw the football a little bit more this year, I don't even know if they will.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be on Sean McDermott. it would be to try to fight the fact that the Bills are really good at running the football and teams might crowd the box already.
Sure. I agree.
Defensively, that's where we look at Sean McDermott and we go, all right, how different is this? Is it better for the Buffalo Bills to have been more aggressive of a defense or just a defense that gets a little bigger? Again, league trends.
Yeah.
If they don't end up in the bottom third of run defense this year, that's already a net win.
Right. And they totally flipped the system around. It's a 3-4 instead of a 4-3. So.
And these days, those fronts can change. Mm-hmm. You can make a four-man front out of the current defensive structure that you have, too.
Right. But a lot of those players are
typically those
spanking
are passing
new.
Situations, though.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, hey, it's third down. I'm going to have Oliver and Walker playing on the inside. I'm going to sub out Landon Jackson, get in an extra corner. And my edge rushers, Rousseau and Chubb, are going to be basically defensive ends.
Yeah, they're going to go after him, yeah.
So that's where you can see four-man fronts from a three-man
sure.
or an odd-man front base.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting. And but, I think that's what I'm more intrigued to see as the change, because I think the offense is going to be standard. I don't think it's going to be all that different from what it's been. You might see more electric plays in the pass game, a little more downfield passing. You even saw that in the preseason when the starters played week one in Carolina. Khalil Shakir was open down the field. How long has it been since that happened? But it's because you add a guy like DJ Moore, it stretches it. But we'll go to the phones, get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. John and Cheek Tuwaga. John, it's Joe, it's Derek. Hey. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. Yeah, when I heard McDermott say that on Rich Eisen, I thought to myself, he's an exception. I don't think a lot of coaches are magnanimous enough to, you know, say they still root for his team. You remember, I'm sure you guys remember Rex's reaction when he won in the Meadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
That was a vengeance game for him.
Yes.
You know, he had a big ego. I think the Sean Paytons and the Mike Vrabels are much more common. I mean, I'm not saying that that's connected to that, but they don't have great reputations as being, you know, good guys. I mean, I think most people that even thought McDermott needed to get fired would say he's a good guy. You know, he's just you don't hear many bad things about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, John, thanks,
John,
for, the
thanks
call.
For the call.
I mean, that was the one big consensus was normally when you see a coach go, it's, you know, blah, blah, blah. People talk. And now this one, immediately it was donating to his charity. And that might be just around here. And the success that he did bring the Bills for 9 years, right?
McDermott is a little bit of a polarizing figure. He does break that drought, though.
He does.
He breaks that drought with kind of Kyle Williams and a bag of pixie dust.
Yeah. Tyrod Taylor. Like pixie
dust. A bag
dust.
Of pixie dust.
Yeah. He gets rid of Marcell Dareus midseason. Like, there was a lot going on in that season.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
They made a lot of trades
mm-hmm.
to reshape that roster the year that they happened to break the drought. Dareus is one of them.
Yeah, and then he
Darby's
ends up ending
another.
Their season, Dareus. He's played for the Jags.
Watkins is another. They get rid of a lot of players.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was very fascinating. And just to wrap up McDermott real quick, because we got business to conduct on the
sure.
other side here. It's also the nature of the business sometimes.
Well,
where,
yeah.
Where the good person gets let go and you go, they were really nice.
Yeah.
Don Granato is still one of my favorite people that I've ever interacted with.
I would agree with that. I think that's 100% accurate. And McDermott brought 9 years of success, 7 straight playoff appearances, all of that for the Bills. And he got fired. That's not normally a coach position you see getting fired. So he left on favorable terms. Yes, playoff losses, but getting there regularly. So we'll get back more into this in a little bit, potentially. Business to conduct, as Derek mentioned on the other side. Joe Calley, Derek Kramer. This is Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.